Okay, y'all. So this is going to be part two of our discussion. If you've seen this break, it was so good. Let's say I just wanted to create another part so we were not inhibited by time. But yeah, Tanika, let's continue on. Go ahead.
Right. So 2022, I'm realizing it. My daughter graduates mid 2022. She starts college, and I'm like, whoa, I see it. And not only do I see it, I've been swamped with two people's worth of work. I'm overwhelmed because I never was like tired, right? I'm working all night. I'm coming home from the main job. I'm working 5 p.m. to midnight every night, Monday through Friday. I'm in here on the weekends churning away, trying to learn more about business and keep people's trips and keep them going. Mm-hmm. All that to say, at the end of 2022, and I'm expecting it at this point because I know what I'm making, the end of 2022, that 1099 was double what the career had ever paid me.
Wow. And it's amazing you didn't go into it with the expectation of, okay, I'm going to do this until it doubles my salary. You were just busy about doing the work. And that's such an important lesson. A lot of times we get so fixated on the end result that we want. But if you just get about doing the work of what you need to do, those results just showed up organically from the work that you were doing. That's good. Right.
And it wasn't feeling like work. Remember, I feel like I'm going to work 8 to 5 and I'm coming home doing something that, even though it can be stressful, that I enjoy doing. So I'm up till midnight and the only thing that's bothering me is when it's time to wake up for the job. That was when it was more noticeable that the job was not giving me the peace. I was working harder in the business than I was ever working at the job because the business never stopped. The business was 5 to midnight every night and all day Saturday and all day Sunday, which was way more hours than I was giving to the job, way more work than I was giving the job, because my job wasn't physically taxing, but I'm not feeling fulfilled at all when I go sit at the job. So by the next year, I'm sitting at the job feeling like I'm missing the money from the business. Like if I wasn't sitting here between 8 to 5, I could be doing more, but I can't because I'm stuck in the job.
Ooh, very pivotal point. So now you have a decision. You got a conflict that's coming up now because my passion is paying me more than my job, but we get so used to the security of the job. Can't go.
Gotta have a job. But the job can't go because we have to have a job, right? That's what we're indoctrinating. You have to have a job.
Job security. We gotta keep
this happening. Nobody leaves a job, especially not after 16 years. Who leaves a job after 16 years? You're fully vested. I work for the state, right? So that's all I heard. And I'm like, and I never was even entertaining leaving the job. I remember somewhere, to the testament of how did I get here? You know, we talked about this prior. Some of it was looking at who I created in my child. At this point, she's a sophomore in college. She's a young lady. Her generation's values are different than ours. And we often say that they're lazy or that, you know, their work ethic isn't as strong. And that is somewhat true, but that is one thing that I definitely, because I'm a manager, so I'm dealing with all different generations. And we're now at the point where we're struggling with hires because the generation that I'm hiring is my daughter's generation, right? Mm. And that's what they're being labeled as. But when I looked at my own child, what I realized is what they also don't have is the ability to hold on to something that's not pleasing to them.
I've heard that a lot.
So they go off of they're the first generation to be completely have a complete worldview. They've had access to the entire world their entire lives, right? My daughter's always had access to talk to anybody in the world she wanted to with the click of a button. She's not going to stay at a job like our parents did for 30 years and hate it for 25 of them. She's going to hate it for 10 minutes and say, that's not for me. Let me find something else. We were never trained to do that. The cycle was education, work, wellness, wealth, right? So work is where we got stuck. We got education and we got to work. And our ancestors, our generation before us, you work there 30 years and then you get your retirement. And that's how you live.
And you know, you said something that I want you to touch on before we got on. You was like, they never really knew leisure or vacation or enjoyment. It was just about survival and work. Can you touch on that too?
I will. So when we spoke a little while, I was saying we were trained, we were indoctrinated, education, work, right? And the reason our generation was so indoctrinated by education is because we were probably only the first or second generation that was afforded the ability to be educated.
Right.
Our grandparents weren't allowed to be educated. So for our parents who may or may have not been educated in higher education, but even if they weren't, they worked their finger to the bone to be able to provide for us to be educated, because to them, that was the out. Right. You don't have education, so you're never going to be eligible for a better job. But at that point, we are only two, maybe three generations removed from people who worked for free. Right. So our grandparents worked hard for a little bit of money. Our parents worked better, but didn't have as good of an education. So we're the generation who get them more educated so they can get a better job. I have very few friends that weren't taught education. I don't care if their parents worked in a plant their whole life. Education was what they would work themselves to the bone for.
That is so good. And I don't mean to cut you off, but what you said, I've never heard before. A couple of generations removed, work hard for free. Work hard for survival. A few generations removed, work hard for a little. Then we have access to education. Get education.
Work hard to get educated.
Work hard to get educated so you can get some more money.
So you can make more when you work, right?
Yeah. And that was the key to freedom.
That the key to freedom is the money, because that's the only thing that we never had access to. So we thought, right?
So we
the key to freedom. So our forefathers, right, our three generations above us thought the key to freedom was having your own money. Because if I was enslaved and I was freed, I had nothing. So what is me being free with nothing? Right? I can't make any money. I can't do anything. So I'm having to learn to do things and work. And then when I learn work, or I learn to plant, or I learn to garden, and I make money, or I'm trading that commodity, my skill set became my commodity. But then that next generation, remember, your generation never wants to do what you did. So that next generation doesn't want to work in the field like their dad did.
I know that. That was me.
Right? Like, I'm not going out there and picking any watermelons. You know, like, that's not, but your dad did that to trade, because the commodity was the trade. The commodity was their skill. That's all they had. They didn't have access to a job that paid them like somebody else was paid. They had access to a skill. So they used their skill to barter and get what they needed. So that next generation was like, nah, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go in that field. Right.
But you know, the key thing that shifted there, they were self-sufficient in the fact that they worked from their talents, their skills and ability, tilling the ground. We build things. You know, we have this trade as skill as an apprentice, where when we transferred to the job, we became more and more dependent on things outside of ourselves.
True. So I always give my ancestors slack on where they came from. So that first generation out of slavery who depended on their skills, that's all they had. So that was still off of survival. That wasn't off of knowledge. That was off of what else do you do, right? Because they don't have any generations that they remember that weren't giving their skills up for free, right? The tenets of what we have as a country were built on the skills of people who look like me. We've always had the skills. We never knew the skills could give us survival and wealth, because those skills were being used for somebody else's wealth when our ancestors were enslaved. And then when they were no longer enslaved, those skills were being used for survival.
Now you make another good point. And so think about the self-concept of the identity that our ancestors took on. So you were bought over here, not looked upon as a person, an individual, or a human being. You're a means to an end. You're property. Right.
You had the skills, though. Those enslaved people knew they had the skills. How did they not have the skills to keep doing what they were doing for hundreds of years and being the one inventing the things to make this work easier? See, they didn't take the skills from that generation, right? But why, if I'm enslaved, would I teach my next generation skills just for them to have to work harder? Because they have the skill. I'm going to teach them to work less. Like, just do the minimal. Because the more you know how to do, the more they're going to keep you here and, you know, force you to stay in this area because they want your skills. The skills have always been the core to survival. Our skills are what will always, our purpose, all of us have an innate set of skills that are different than the person next to us. And that is what will always keep us. But we learn to use those skills for others, right? So our parents or thought key is education, because what their parents didn't have was education. That's why they had to work all day and all night. And when they got 80, they couldn't work anymore. They didn't have anything, right? So now we're going to get educated. And I've been working in this factory for 30 years, and I'm going to make sure you're educated. So we were still taught. We were taught the right things in the wrong order, right? I realized
that. Say that again. Make it the right. Wrong order.
Listen, Gerard, let's be honest. We went to school. We went to the same college. There were a lot of people that we went to college with that did not look like us, that were only at that school to get the degree on the wall because the wealth was already there. Right? They weren't going to go give their skill set to someone else. Their skill set was going right back to the family business. They could have been given the family business without the degree, right?
Hey, you going deep.
It was education in the wrong order. We thought the education was the end to the means. The education allowed us to give to refine our skills, because I will always be skilled. There's nothing you can do to take a human's skills away, right? And so the education taught us to be higher level skilled, higher level thinking. And then who were we taught to give those skills to? Who am I giving the skills to when I work a job? Not to me.
Come on with it. Interesting, and you got me thinking so many different things. Now, look at the progression of education. In the earliest form, education was just learning how to read so you could become more aware of the environment that you were in and how to do things. That still gave the individual learning a level of ownership. But when they took over the education system, now we're going to teach you what we want you to know, for the purpose of educating you to come back and work in this system. But
exactly. We're going to indoctrinate you the backwards way that you have to do. Let's be honest, Dry. We both went to college. So that means we both were on a whole college track in high school. Now, me and you can both be honest with the people that we've never used a thing that we learned in trigonometry yet.
This is true.
Yes. I have yet to figure out the circumference of a tree. That was so integral. I mean, maybe if I was a tree cutter, that would be important. But I don't think that was necessary for me to survive in this world. It's not been necessary in anything that I've done in anybody's workforce.
I still can't figure out why my seventh grade teacher had us out trying to catch bugs and flies and do an insect.
Right. Why do I need to know? You know what I'm saying? There were things that we didn't need to know. What we needed to do was be indoctrinated into the system.
Girl.
Hey. What education is, to be indoctrinated that you have to learn this way. And what you do with what you learn here is go give what your skills, because think about it. We both also went to college. We both also matriculated, right? Was there anything, and I'm not college education is important, people. I'm not saying this to not college education. I love my school.
Right? High level conversations tonight, y'all. High level conversation. Go ahead.
College is way less about what you learn in the classroom as it is to what you learn as an interperson, right? There was nothing in the college classroom that was so profound to me. Yes, when I got to higher level classes that were about public health, and I needed to know the bones in the body, and I needed to know certain things. But let's be honest, it was 2 years of college, it was about me making the interpersonal connections that got me. We're sitting here today because of an interpersonal connection that happened at college, yeah. Right? It wasn't about what we learned in history class. I still don't remember everything that happened in the history till 1835 and then 1835 to present that we both sat in, because it was
anthropology, statistics.
It doesn't matter if I can label the constellations right now, unless I'm choosing to be an astronomer. Is that important to know? The skill set was to teach me how to continue to learn and use what I learned, right? But the piece that's not in the education system is to use what you learn for you, because we learned it backwards. Our parents were so anticipating us going to learn that we lost what their parents knew was everything you learn is for your own benefit, for the upbringing of you. We learned it all, and now we know it all. We can read a book and spit it back out to you, but we're stuck, like you said, in work. So we're spitting it back out for somebody else's system.
Come on now. And you know, that's what our whole education system was created on. They needed workers to come and work in, I think maybe around industrial age. They needed people, they needed the masses to come and work. We'll create the infrastructure, but we're not gonna be in there running the machines and doing so. We need to educate the masses to funnel them back into our system.
Not only are we not, and so let's get into the wellness, but we're going to transition a little bit. Not only are we not only are we not going to run the machines, we don't know how to. We just own this place. So we got to have the educated workforce because we can't even do what they can do, which is why so many of us are in the workforce and we get stuck there and we're completely burned out because all the managers over us don't know what we know. Can't do what we can do. But regardless of how high they move us, I'm never going to be higher to you than you, even if I have better skills than you.
And that goes to an important subject of ownership. And I think, and I won't get into all of that, but if you don't own the system, then you are stuck working for the people. You're stuck in the system.
Right.
And I think that's where we are now. Go ahead.
No, but all that to say, that links back to where does the job stress come from? Where does the anxiety come from? Why are you not feeling well? Because you are very clear that you are higher level educated, and regardless of how much money they pay you, they're never paying. For me, I'm a high achiever, right? You're never going to be able to pay me my worth because you can't duplicate what I can give you in the human capital area, right? You can't buy what I bring to the table. It is ingrained in me. The education did it. God did it. All the mixtures that created me did it. But what I have is valuable. So you don't want to let me go, but you don't want to make sure I'm a whole person either. Because if I'm a whole forethought person with no stress, no anxiety, everything's going perfect, guess what my higher level thinking is going to do? My higher level thinking is going to make me leave your system.
Oh, girl, boy, man, you going, boy.
so
but you know, even worse than that, what it did, it made us doubt our own innate ability to create our own, because we had that at one time. Yes. And, you know, you always hear, you know, integration did a number on us because prior to, we were forced to figure out how to survive and maintain on our own. Community was a necessity. And where we are now, and you touched on this too, and we'll get to this, but it's like when you're now integrated, you've lost your community. You're never going to fit in over what you've integrated into. And so now we are having this big identity crisis. And I want you to touch on this from the travel perspective, because we find ourselves in the place where we have always tried to fit in, number one, in a context that we don't own or control, number one, but number two, in the place that you will never fully be made to feel welcome.
Right. And I want to even pause this for a second for your listeners to, and although myself and Gerard are probably speaking from an African-American perspective, let me be clear on my status on race. This is a classism thing, not a race thing. I can talk to a middle class or a lower class white American, and this is the same structure that they are stuck in, because we live in a capitalist socialized society, right? And it doesn't matter how much you educate the underbelly, you're going to keep them in the system to remain the underbelly, right? So regardless of how much education you put on the underbelly, what happens is they become no longer fulfilled because they know they didn't know their worth without being educated. When they get educated and they kind of see their worth and their value, then they get into your system. They realize that you need them. They don't need you. What does the society have to do? The society then has to give us the smoke and mirrors, have us thinking we're fighting each other, have us thinking that there's all this other chaos when there really isn't. There isn't a race issue, there's a social issue, right? And so because we're so busy thinking that there's something else, not realizing that all the underbelly is struggling and all the top 10% is not, and they're going to keep you thinking that you're here, and they're going to keep you in chaos because it's much easier to control people who don't know their worth. Don't know your worth. is where we are in America, folks. Let's be honest. So I don't want anybody to take this as, oh, this is a racial conversation. It's not. I believe this is a classism conversation. And this is applicable to anyone who did not start life in the top 10%. The top 10% is not sweating about anything any days. All they're focused on is how they can keep the bottom 90% making sure that they stay in the top 10, right?
Oh,
so let's get back to the topic, which was we'll cut on tangents. But the reality is what happened to me to get back on that note was as I went back to work after that 2022 season, right? Because now I've seen like, wait 1 minute, the money over here was like, okay, that's more than I've ever been paid. And even these small little increases I get are not even touching that, right? They're not touching it. So then in 2020, and I've been there at this point 16 years, I have all this leave. And I was very honest with my superiors. Like, listen, where I am, and they know about my business, where I am, I have to take some leave, right? I haven't taken leave for years, came to work every day, you know, hustled while I was sick, all that. Yeah, so we get back to where work takes you. And so when I reached, what, year two of the, well, probably year three, or the business, when now money has come in twice as much as what my career is bringing. Now my eyes are open to the fact that, because the goal is to pay bills. So you have to give priority to what is paying the bills.
Oh man, where did that come from? The goal is to pay bills.
Well, this is the indoctrination, right? The goal was to pay bills. For me as a single mom, I'm struggling to pay bills. My goal was to pay bills. So I entered the next year after making double my salary in my business, which I'm doing part-time in the evenings, remember? And I'm doubling making more money. I'm doubling my salary
as a government employee
and half as much time. And it's never feeling like work.
And it's never feeling like work.
I remember when that year ended, and back to my spirituality, I remember praying. Because so many people are like, you need to do. Now, my travel colleagues in the industry, you're good at this. You need to, you know, why are you not? Like, no, I work a full-time job. I can't come to a lot of these events all year long. You know, there's always travel events. You need to jump up and go with, like, you know, 2 weeks notice. I can't come. I work a full-time job. I have to, you know, plan my leave out for the year. I'm taking my trips. I was very honest with my job at that point that, like, listen, I can't remember what happened, but there was definitely chatter amongst higher superiors about my leave, right? Like, she's taking a lot of leave. Now, mind you, I have the leave. It's not like leave I don't have. I've got plenty of leave on the books. I'm asking for it. It's being approved. But of course, I run a business, so I have to be kind of social on social media. So plenty of them were seeing. And, you know, they know when I take leave and I'm in Dubai. And I remember I do a Dubai trip every year, beginning of the year. And so it's always my first trip. And I remember
I'm catching Dubai next year. I'm gonna put it out.
2026 is out there. Let's go for the Dubai adventure. We actually are going in 2 weeks, so you guys come on. But so I remember that year going into work. This was 2023, and I remember my supervisor saying, "Hey, you know, when we're texting, I think we were still working from home some." And she's like, "Hey, you know, just keep be mindful. People are looking at you." And I'm like, oh, "Okay, that's fine." And I think we had lunch or something one day. And she was like, yeah, you know, saying, basically insinuating her boss was kind of chattering about the leave that I was taking. Mind you, all approved. I'm not taking any leave like under the table. I'm asking for the leave. It's being granted, right?
And these are your days that you've earned as leave.
Yeah, been earned 16 years. I got to use, and at this point, I've been there so long, I have to use them or lose them. So I have to take about 40 days off a year, right?
So let's just make it clear. So the issue wasn't about the leave.
No. It wasn't about the leave because I have the leave. I'm actually putting the leave in and it's being approved, right? But whoever wants to see, especially we're all in the system, right? But some people get to a higher part of the system and they forget that they're also a part of the system. So I was told to make this quote the day that I left by a travel counterpart. And it was basically I had said that the poverty mindset in you is intimidated by the hustler mindset in me. And that's what I was feeling at that year. So I remember having lunch, I'm sitting having lunch with my supervisor, and we're just talking casually. And that's when she's mentioning, you know, they're looking and they're concerned about your leave. I said, hasn't all my leave been approved? Now by you, mind you, right? By the person I'm talking to. You approved it all, right? I haven't like asked for extra days. Like basically I came in 1 year and gave them my leave for the entire year because I already know what trips I'm taking for 2025, right? So I would come in beginning of the year, put it all in because I have enough leave to put it all in at one time. I don't have to wait to accrue anything. I have enough leave on the books.
That's
so I'm starting the year with enough leave.
Make so, people nervous.
Right. So I put the leave in. My first trip of that year is Dubai. This was had to be 2023 because the year 2023, I had 150 people that were going to Dubai with me that year. Mm. And I remember saying, and I had been taking like two trips a month. And they some people knew that they were for I was taking the leave for trips, but it's my leave, right? So it doesn't matter what I do with it when I take it. Just because you guys are used to me only taking it when I'm sick, it's mine. So I'm taking it when I'm well now, right? Because what is bringing me the mental peace is traveling. And it's also bringing me financial freedom. So I remember looking at her and she said something about, oh, whoever, whatever higher boss, well, you know, they've been watching you take way more leave than you've ever taken. And I said, okay, is it approved? She's like, yeah, I'm just telling you what their chatter was. And I said, okay, I'm going to lay this out to you. And I'd never talked to them about, they knew, you know, some of them knew that I had the travel business that I ran in the evening. I said, when I come back from Dubai, my company is going to pay me $40,000. Can you match that? Because if you match that, I will cancel my leave and come to work for you.
Mm, no, you didn't lay it out like that. Uppercut.
Right. And she was like, well, no. I said, well, then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the leave. Until the leave can match what my business is doing for me, then it makes no sense for me to give you the time that I've been giving you. Because I'm giving you the time at the sacrifice and the detriment of my own self. I've been a struggling single mother for 15 years of working here. And the last 2 years, I'm completely out of that struggle. Now my child is in year three of college. She has zero student loans. I've been able to pay her tuition in full. She's thriving. What sense would it make for me to think that the system that I'm in, this job, which I do enjoy, is going to free me? My goal was freedom.
That wasn't their goal for you.
No, of course. Because the more I'm away from you, the less human capital you have from me. And remember, I'm a high performer. And I realized, I remember that year praying, you know, God, whatever you have for me, show me. Because people were telling me to leave my job, but the security of having a check come twice a month, whether you do a good job or a bad one, mm-hmm. You know, not having to worry about if it comes, there's some security in that that gives us a false sense of security. And so I remember praying like, God, I don't know what it is that you have for me, but I do know that I'm at a crossroads, right? I'm seeing people act differently towards me at the job. I'm also going to work because now I'm tired because now the travel business is booming, but I'm still doing it at night. So I'm exhausted every day. However, I'm not going to stop the travel business because it's putting me where I need to be financially. And so what I have to take away is giving the job more of me than what they're paying me for. Mm-hmm. So I had to start pivoting and saying, I can only give them this much of me. They can't have all of me because I have to have all of me available to what I'm building. My full mental capacity and all of my work ethic has to go into what's mine, and they can only get what's left.
Wait. Stop there. Stop it. Make that plain. Now, listen to what she just said.
You have to give what's for you. When you get to that pivotal point, you will have to make a decision to give what you created, what's yours. It's like it's your baby, right? For those of us that are parents, this is your child. You got to give it all of you. And everybody else has to get what's left of you.
So are you giving yourself the leftovers of you? And that's what most of us are doing. And that's why we stay stuck.
We're giving everything the leftovers. Our children get the leftovers. Our spouse get the leftovers. Everything in life gets the leftovers because we're leaving our best at something that's creating wealth for somebody else.
That you have no level of control or ownership over.
No, it's making wealth for somebody else. They're living their best life. You're leaving your best there. And think about who's around you. Everybody else that's in your community that's around you after you leave there is getting the worst of you.
So, Peep Game, listen to what she said. Now, this is where we start at. We give the majority of ourselves into our work, our jobs or whatever. But your story is such a great story. But over time, look at what she did. She slowly started taking some of that time away that she was investing or using other time to begin investing in herself. And it eventually it grew a little bit more and more. And then she got to this crossroads where she has to make a decision. Am I now willing to take the rest of my time and energy investing in somebody else's vision and invest it in my own that I control and own? And that's going to pay dividends to me and my family for years to come.
And it was so much of me realizing how much more time I gave them than I gave anybody, because if my working hours were 8 to 4:30, but I'm still answering that phone that they gave me at 7 o'clock at night because somebody wants to have a conversation. I'm still responding to emails. So what happened that next year was I gave them the compound. I literally remember going back to read my job description, and that's all they got. I don't know became an answer for me. And those who worked with me will tell you, my statement during a 2-year period was, I don't know was a valid answer. And listen, the disdain that I got once I no longer gave you my intellectual capital, because this is not in my job description. So it wasn't me being stubborn and saying this wasn't in my job description. I was simply saying, I don't know. I'm not sure. But I'm not going above and beyond to solve that problem for you. I didn't want to give you my intellectual capital. Could I have figured out the answer to the problem? Yes. Was it my problem to figure out? No, because I can't go home spent, because when I go home, I have to give all my intellectual capacity to my own. So I shut my intellectual capacity down. I gave exactly what was required for the job. Nothing more. At 4:30, I turned that phone off. If you emailed me at 4:31, you got a response the next morning at 8 o'clock, even if I saw it. I was never at all tempted to send another email. You know why? Because they're only paying me for the job description that I signed. Anything else they were getting from me for free. Anything that you give above that, you gave for free.
And I think your story is so relevant for where we are now, because if we as a collective of people got the revelation that you got and all individually and collectively made the decision that I'm going to withdraw parts of me. And I'm not even necessarily saying, you know, the economic boycott, we need to pull all of my, no.
Intellectual boycott is what we need, not an economic boycott.
Say that, intellectual.
Intellectually, we are the higher level intellect everywhere that we exist. There's not a field that we're in that we're not the higher level thinker. And when we withdraw our intellectual capital,
what do you do with it? Let's make it plain. What do you do?
You gotta give it to whatever your passion is. For me, travel was my passion. Travel was where I was finding myself happy. When I went back and realized on that prayer, from the moment that I prayed, God, show me what it is that I'm supposed to be doing, because I'm feeling conflicted. And I'm very clear that the God that I follow doesn't like chaos. So why am I feeling chaotic? Something has to be wrong if I'm feeling chaos, because that's not the natural order of what you have for me. So I remember praying, God, show me what you have for me. And trust me, my God knows I'm not just looking. You can't just show me the vision one time. You have to show it to me a lot of times, because I'm very scared to step out. And from that day forward, I can honestly say I could probably call 10 people right now who could tell you I never found another amount of peace when I went to work. It only got worse. Everything that I had done, I did everything probably exactly the same, other than giving extra of my intellectual capital, right? So none of my job wasn't being done. I just wasn't doing anybody else's job, right? I wasn't solving anybody else's problems. I did my job and I sat. And all of a sudden, the shift in the energy, I couldn't get peace. I couldn't have peace regardless of where I sat it. And I remember praying on it. I was like, you know, now you're showing it to me, and it's really me, God, that doesn't want to see it, because I told you to show me, and I know, and you know me, that you got to show me in a way that is clear to me. And the reason I don't have peace is because I'm refusing to step out on what you have for me.
And why was that? Because this is where a lot of people.
Who wants to let go of the indoctrination of the financial stability of somebody putting money in your check twice a month? money in your bank account, I mean, twice a month. Who wants to let that go? I won't sit here and glamorize owning your own business like there's all this money pouring in. People travel when? Majority of us travel during the summer. Guess what? Guess how much I have to budget money between the end of the travel season, between Labor Day and the beginning of the next year, when people, you know, jump up again and travel is more voluminous. The reality is it's not easier. Right. I'm not going to sit here and glamorize like my day is easier. We spoke earlier before this. What did I tell you? I've been sitting in my office since 9:30 this morning, back to back calls, back to back things. But easier is not the goal. Being at peace was my goal. God took away my peace because it was where I was, wasn't where he had me to be, because I always played back to what I heard and where I started. What God has for me is bigger than what I'm dreaming.
I think that's a very important point that you made. Your measure has to be your peace. Because if you're doing all that and you cool, you at peace, like what you're saying may not be for everybody. Some people are cool being in the matrix or whatever. Hey, that's cool if you have peace. But the majority, and I know it, the majority of y'all don't have peace. Don't have peace.
And if it's causing you any moments of stress, is it for you or are you forcing yourself to fit into it? Because of the security. There's a security in just knowing that a check is coming to hit your account, right? That security for me was the opposite of faith. So I was like, listen, this can't be it. And mind you, I'm still going to the therapist. I'm still having job stress. I'm having panic attacks, all that stuff. When I'm pulling up to the parking lot, and I'm like, dude, I all of a sudden have an instant migraine. I haven't even walked in yet. It's 7:55 in the morning. I can't get any. And my therapist is like, can you tell me why you're not leaving? Because you keep saying that your business is doing well financially. So what else is it, right? That indoctrination has you almost glued. You're glued. It wasn't about the money for me anymore, because the job had long, 2 years before that, had stopped making me enough money. I now had a whole level of life. My daughter was enjoying a level of life that was based on the money I was bringing in travel.
Well, let me make this point, because you were talking about the security, and this came to me. We got seduced on a form of security that we can't secure. You have no control over the thing that you say is your security. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing in disguise that I learned this at the beginning of my work career. I went, and you'll know the story, went to Carolina, got my undergrad in psychology, took a year off, paid off my student loans, went back because it's like, you're not going to make no money with a psych degree. So I was like, okay, well, let me go back and get my master's degree. So now I did the math. I'm supposed to be making at least about 45. So get my first job where I did my internship at, and making... Because in that particular county in South Carolina, they had social workers on a classified scale along with nurses, cafeteria workers, $23,000. So that whole paradigm blew up for me like immediately. It's like, hey, I did.
The degree costs more than that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then 2 years later, I got, because I thought I had job security. So I said, okay, I'm just going to stay here for a couple of years, pocket some money. And I need to, I'm going to move to a different state that pays what we're supposed to be getting paid. I thought that was a secure plan. Got laid off 2 years later. And what I realized is that, oh, I don't have no control over any of this. Like, and I remember the assistant principal came and like, Gerard, man, we really appreciate you. You've done great work, but sorry to let you know, we got to let you go. And he said, last hire, first fire. I said, well, I'll be. And that taught me right there, I have no control over this. So realistically speaking, I would be crazy to put all of my confidence in this system.
And And I will say for me, the turning point was, like I said, remember this whole time I'm suffering from anxiety, depression. I've been battling it for years. You know, I finally, actually, ironically, because they started harassing me about leave, started using the employee assistance program and started using their therapist. Because I'm telling you, like, now I'm taking leave not only for trips, but because when I come back for the trip, you're stressing me out. So I just want another day off. So, and I have it, right? I have it. So I'm using it all, like, whatever. But I remember with my therapist one day we were talking, and he said, you know, we're trying to investigate, like, why do I feel so stuck, right? Like, why can't I take a step out? Because there's something going on there. And I remember saying, you know, I'm a single mom. I do everything on my own. And I don't know what would happen if something went wrong.
That's right? Real. That's real.
And so that's a fear, right? That's and he said something that I will never forget. He said, okay, let's pretend you didn't have the travel business, right? So what are you making? You know, he kind of knew the range I was making. He used to work for the state as well. So what, and as you just said, we're not making the most money, right? So what are you making? So let's pretend you never started the travel business. You never even had that income. What would you do if your air conditioning broke? You still didn't have the financial reserve to fix the air conditioning. You would figure it out. Because what you've been doing all the years prior to you having the extra income from the travel business was when catastrophes came up, they were never paying you enough to cover a catastrophe. You were just figuring it out. He's like, that's the same thing you'll do if something starts going bad in travel. Because at this point, I had saved 6 months worth of money. I got 6 months emergency fund. He's like, you can't tell me that you're not intelligent enough to realize if you leave a job and in 6 months, you work for them and you're not making the money to sustain yourself for six more, that you're too unintelligent. Your intellectual abilities didn't go away. You just get another job.
That's good.
You know, and I was like, you know what? Never even thought about it like that, because we're indoctrinated to what? Work. We're indoctrinated to get the job and stay there. So I was like, you're right. Like, I can get another job if I need to get another job, right? It won't be this. He was like, it just won't be that job, but you can get a job, right? You're not going to tell me that you're going to sit home and twiddle your thumbs and realize that travel's not making any money and lose it all. Nobody intelligent would do that. You go do what you need to do. Circling back to our conversation about our ancestors, I would go back and do what I needed to do to survive. Because work is for survival. Work is not for wellness or wealth. Work is for survival.
Talk that talk, Tanika. Talk that talk. Okay. Whoo, Jesus, this is good. All right. So walk us through. So you eventually make the decision to leave. So tell us about that. Then I want to transition the conversation to the importance of travel in broadening our concept of ourselves and seeing our place in the world outside of what we have been taught that we are in this context of living in the United States. So tell us how you finally ended up making that decision, because it's like a good movie. You're like, okay, how does it end up? What did you do?
So it just went on to where for almost 2 years, I never had peace.
So you stayed for another 2 years after that conversation with the therapist?
Yeah. Well, after that conversation with the therapist, about another year, because that was probably a year into therapy. But for the 2 years of me having the revelation and having the money, I just still could never find the peace. So I'm back to the doctor for the physical ailments that I've been going to the doctor for years. The doctor finally convinces me, because I'm still working, you know, hey, because I'm not a medicine person. So I was never like, I'm going to go take a medicine, you know, to cure. And he's like, you know, there's a medication out there that's for anxiety and depression, is also now labeled for use with chronic unresolved pain. Would you be willing? And I'm like, you know, what do I have to lose? So now I'm medicated. I'm medicated for the depression, the anxiety, and the pain. And the therapist was the one who finally put it in my head that maybe the pain is of the origin of your mental health, not the origin of your physical health. That's why they can't find anything wrong, right? Because they're not scanning what, you know, you're in conflict. And so that between my spiritual and praying, you know, what is it? What is it?
So even your body was trying to tell you, like,
my body was, listen, I went to the points where I wasn't sleeping for days. I would be at the job and all of a sudden have to take leave because I couldn't stay awake. It was like my body was like, yeah, now sleep. I was in chaos. I was in absolute physical and mental chaos. And I thought back on the prayers that I had prayed. It was like, God, show me. And I remember telling who was now an agent with me, an agent on my team. We talk about spiritual things all the time. And I remember telling her, you know what? God won't even let me have peace because I refuse to just trust it. Mm-hmm. I'm going through all of this physically, mentally, and everything with no cause. And there is a cause. It's because I'm refusing to trust what he told me it would be. And he told me it would be okay. So I resolved that when I went to work in 2024, I entered that new year knowing, I told all of my employees, I will not be here. So if you are working here because I'm your supervisor, you know, just FYI, I'm not going to be here. I told my therapist that I know that I can't do this for any more years. I don't know when the time is going to come, but the time is going to come that I can no longer do this. And about maybe 2 months into 2024, some of the physical ramifications of what I was going through became so overwhelming that all of my doctors put me out of work. Wow. All of them were like, let's sign the paperwork. You need to be home because this, you are on the verge of a complete breakdown if you don't cut that loose. And being as it's tied, like my panic attacks were tied to me getting to the office. I was getting into my office and physically unable to catch my breath because I was sitting in that building. And they were like, yeah. And that coupled with some, you know, now the job is also compounding things. All of a sudden I'm a discipline problem and, you know, all these things, but I'm giving you these medical notes of what I'm going through medically. And then you're saying, oh, you still need to do this. And I'm like, I can't, I don't, my body doesn't have the physical ability. So forget that I need to cut off my intellectual capital. My body was taking away my ability to give my intellectual capital away because it wasn't for me. And what's not for you is not for you. No matter how hard you force. And so I'm sitting there, and like I said, my doctors completely took me out. Like, that's it. You need some time. I think it was like 6 weeks or 4 weeks, or like, you've got to separate from everything. So, okay. During that 4 weeks, probably the first 2 weeks, well, definitely first week and a half, my body was in such chaos. I just slept. Like, I felt like I couldn't wake up. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. And I come out of that. And after about 2 weeks, for the next 2 weeks, I'm like clear. Like, I realize I'm not hurting. I'm not taking the medicine because my sleep pattern was so all over the place that I was not forgetting to take the medicine, but I'm waking up at 3 a.m. Isn't it? You know, like, so I realized, oh my gosh, I haven't taken the medicine in 3 days, but I'm not hurting. You know, I'm not feeling bad. What's going on? And at the end of that 2 weeks, the doctors were like, hey, we like the levels, the labs, you know, things look better, but we want you to take a little more time. So they extend it, right? Because you're not where you need to be, but you're on the right path. And they extend it. And that second extension, I knew I wasn't going back. Because now my physical release, I mean, I was home, back to work in the business. This wasn't stressing me at all. I'm not on any medication within 4 to 6 weeks. I'm on no medication. I'm having no side effects of it. They're like, you just stopped. I'm like, listen, I forgot to even take it. And didn't even, pain never came back. I forgot I even needed it. Forgot that I used to take it.
So I want you to paint this real clear. Mm-hmm. So looking back on it now, what would you say the root issue of your problem was, just so we can put it in clear words so people could hear? What was the root
issue of my problem is that work does not put you on a path to wellness.
Hmm.
Let's put it on your spectrum. Work does not put you on a path to wellness. Work is for survival. Wellness is something that you have to go get.
You bet.
And if you don't command your wellness, I don't care where you work, right? All of us probably work, whether your goal is for anything free or anything else. If you don't have wellness, all of this is moot. Everything that you're doing from the time you wake up to you go to sleep is moot if you're not physically okay. And the brain controls the entire body. So my brain at that point was not okay because of the stress and the anxiety. And it was shutting my entire body down. And I was doing that at the sacrifice of work. And the reality is, just as easily as they let you go, they could let me go.
Be somebody to replace you? Oh, give us a week. We'll have somebody in here to replace you.
I can't say that, though, because I've been gone 6 months. And from what I've heard, they haven't replaced me yet, because you can't replace me. But you have a vacancy, but you haven't found a me. But no, all that to say that my focus during that time, that first month that I was written out, my focus became myself. My focus did not become the work, anybody else, what they needed from me. I wasn't checking any emails. I wasn't looking. My focus became myself.
And pretty when my much focus for the first time in your life,
for the first time in my entire adult life,
y'all catch
that. I was
that.
Only focused on myself. And that put me in a good place. But yeah, that put me in a great place. Me focusing on myself, me only worrying about myself, me being, you know, I just realized the more that I was pouring into myself, the more I wasn't worried about what anybody else had going on at that job. I wasn't worried about what they were doing. I wasn't even accepting phone calls. Like if a phone call came and it wasn't like, how are you doing? Because believe me, there were calls coming to me. I also started examining people who I thought gave a crap about me at that job, right? And realizing that the only phone calls I was getting from a few people were about when I was coming back, not mm-hmm. about how I was doing, how I was feeling. Even though you're looking at the doctor's paperwork, like a doctor told you I couldn't work. Not like me saying it. A doctor is saying it's physically not okay for her to go to work anymore.
And that makes it painstakingly clear that they really didn't value you at all.
It's exactly what happened. Like they make it clear that work is just work. And so for me, that was the trigger for me to, you know what? All the intellectual capital that you put into yourself and it gave you a greater reward is because that's where your focus has to be, is on self. You have to have some selfishness in this world if you're going to work in any type of system, because the system is not designed for you, the worker. The system is designed for the owner. Whoever that may be. I worked in government, but still there's an end result of somebody who's the person who's benefiting from my work, even as a public servant. So if you are not the person benefiting, right? Because the salary is not the benefit. The salary is them paying you for your time, and that's needed for survival. But what's the benefit to you as a person? And when I realized that I led back to what I said I learned looking at my daughter grow into herself, is they don't do anything that's not pleasing to them as a person. They will not trade their personal beliefs or any amount of money for what makes them feel good. And whether we like the work ethic of that generation, whether we think they'll quit a job after 2 hours, there's something to be said that you have enough self-respect that you can't buy me.
God.
And that was a lesson I learned from a child.